It is my pleasure this morning to welcome you to the very first service of the Chicago International Christian Church. Well, I tell you what, it's awesome when you see a good plan come together. And it's been an incredible weekend. It's been so great to hang out with all of you who have come from all over to be a part of this weekend. And I'm talking about the mission team. God has called 31 sold out disciples. Amen. He's called them from New York, Wisconsin, Oregon, Connecticut, Arizona, and Illinois to begin this great work. And I said, the two guys behind me, I didn't see them till this morning. They rolled in yesterday, and Jay and his family got up at 6 and came from Madison this morning. So, amen. It's just good to be here. And also, all of you that have come from all over just to support us this weekend. I see folks from Wisconsin and, of course, from Portland as well that just come to be with us. You know, I talked to my good friend Chip this morning, and he just wanted everyone to know that he and Elena have been praying for us, and their hearts are with us. You know, they sent 4 people to be with us on the mission team today. And, well, they're having 4 baptisms in Portland this morning. So, amen. I think they're going to do okay, and we are very grateful just to have those that they've sent to be with us. But I have to say, on my heart most especially, it's just been incredible to see everyone from Syracuse that's come up. Amen. Because Teresa and I lived in Syracuse for 7 years. And when you're with a group of people for 7 years, there's just a lot of emotion, especially when you're fighting side by side for the honor of God. And I'm so proud of the Syracuse Church. We could not be here today without your sacrifice and your devotion to God and to us. And, you know, everyone needs to understand the Syracuse Church has sacrificed a lot for this to happen. I think around 18 of us moved from Syracuse, and it's a small church. Now it's even smaller, you know. That's okay, because God works by many or by few, amen? But just last week, Syracuse Church took up a special missions contribution, and they far exceeded their goal. And all that money is going to support our church in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. Amen. We've been supporting for several years, and so that's incredible. But also just this church planting. The financial funding of this church has come solely from the Syracuse Church. As far as us and Teresa and I have been able to come out and work full-time in the ministry here. And for a small church, this has been a big dream. When Teresa and I arrived in 99, we started saving then to plant a church. And, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Because in January, early January, I had no clue I'd be living in Chicago in early July. But God, and many of you didn't, amen? But God works powerfully. So I just want to say I'm so grateful for the Syracuse crew. I love all of you. Especially, it was great spending time last night with the Adams and the O'Donnells, just dear friends, and our children, love your children, you're warriors in the kingdom. And especially, of course, Andrew and Patrick. There's no way I could be here if Andrew Smelly hadn't risen up to become an evangelist in God's kingdom. Amen. Andrew's very special to me. He has been at my side and supported me and really given his heart to train for the ministry. He graduated with a master's degree in healthcare administration from Cornell University and immediately gave it all up to go into the full-time ministry. Now, that's pretty awesome. His wife, Patrice, was baptized in Syracuse as a lawyer. and gave it all up to go into full-time ministry. So, amen. God is working powerfully. And the sermon today that's going to be on Joshua, who was Moses' aide, is largely inspired by you, Andrew. I love you very, very much. At this time, we're going to go to God in prayer. I'm first going to ask Chris Williams, who's moved from Portland to lead our Latino ministry. And it's pretty awesome. You know, Portland just decided to invest in some new translation equipment. So he grabbed the old stuff and brought it with him. Amen. So if anybody needs translation, we've got it today for you. He's going to pray for us. And then Jay Shellbrack. Amen. Jay and his family are part of the group that have moved up from Madison. And it's just been so great getting to know him as well. He is a man of great faith and steadiness in his convictions. And has stood up in the face of a lot of adversity for what he believes in. These brothers are going to pray, and then we're going to dive into the Word. Amen.
Let's pray, brothers and sisters. Vamos a orar. Father in heaven, we give you so much thanks, God. You are amazing, Father. There is none other like you. None of this could be possible without your power, without your mercy, without your faith in us, God. Because you know that we don't have sufficient faith to do anything, God, without you. It all comes from you. God, we are so grateful to you because of your love, because of your faith in us, because of bringing us to this time and this day at the beginning of a great mission. Amen. Father, we pray that you would bless this mission. We pray that you would bless today's service in incredible ways, God. We pray that every brother and sister here, every person who is here visiting, God, would be impacted by your word today.
Amen.
God, we pray that the lesson would move hearts, God. We pray that you would speak powerfully through your Spirit to guide each of us in our hearts, to make decisions to come even closer to you, God. We love you with all of our hearts, Father, and we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Padre que estás en el cielo, te damos gracias porque tú eres increíble. Padre, tú eres todo para nosotros. No podemos hacer nada sin ti, Padre. Tú nos das la fe y el poder para seguir adelante, Padre. Para poder alcanzar metas increíbles que ni nosotros pudimos imaginar, Padre. Te damos gracias por tu fe en nosotros. Te damos gracias por este día increíble, esta misión que nos has regalado, Padre. Te pedimos que sea una bendición para tu reino, que nosotros podemos trabajar con todo nuestro corazón y que te agradamos a ti, Padre. Te amamos con todo el corazón, Padre. Te pedimos todo en nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now humbled. It's really amazing, God, to see how you've changed our lives, how you've impacted us in so very many ways. And God, it's amazing to see your sacrifices for us. I pray, God, that we will have your heart today and in the coming future.
Amen.
That we can see the pain and the suffering of the people of Chicago.
Amen.
That we can see what you see.
Yes.
And that we can be moved by it. That we can change the world and an eternity for people. Help us to put self aside. Help us to be willing to suffer and sacrifice.
Amen.
As your son did, so that we can change lives. Thank you, God, for believing in us, giving us hope.
Yes.
Giving us so many great things in this world, things we take for granted.
Yes.
I pray, God, that what we do here today encourages you.
Amen.
I pray the things that Chris speaks about will move our hearts to change in incredible ways. I pray, God, that we will be willing to continue to sacrifice even greater, in greater ways than we ever have before, so that people will know that you are real and that you love us and that we are here for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. That's right. There you go. Joshua chapter 24. You know, Joshua is a great book in the Bible, a great biblical hero, a man of great faith. As I said before, he was Moses' aide. And really, the book of Joshua is all about him and the people of Israel, as they, with God's help, conquered the promised land. With God's help, you can read about how they miraculously crossed the Jordan River. With God's help, you can read about how they conquered Jericho. You all know the story of Jericho, don't you? Even our children sing, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls, what? Came tumbling down. With God's help, they quickly went in and took possession of all the main areas of Canaan. Here in Joshua 24, just before Joshua's death. Now remember, Joshua was chosen to become Moses' successor just before Moses' death. He was chosen to be the man to lead God's people into the promised land. And we're going to talk about why he was chosen in just a little while. But here at the end of his life, and you know, listen, we're all going to die. It's one thing we don't really like to talk about too often. But there is a 100% mortality rate in this room. It's the great equalizer. We're all going to die one day. And this was at the end of Joshua's life. Here, he gathers the people. He reminds them of God's covenant with them. He reminds them of God's covenant, God's promises. And then, he reminds them of the commitment required when given such a great, great covenant. Chapter 24, verse 1. It says here, "Then Joshua assembled all the tribes at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves to him." Oh, I'm sorry. Those of you that don't know me, the Syracuse folks know I tend to do that sometimes, just to see if you're paying attention. Really, this is important to make sure we understand. Yes, it was Joshua, God's chosen leader, who had summoned all of his people to come, from the elders to Joe Israelite. Amen? Everybody came. But when they came, they did not present themselves to Joshua. They came to present themselves to God. You know, this week, we shared our faith, invited people all over the city. We've summoned literally thousands to come and join us for this inaugural service. You're the ones that came. And I want to make sure you understand, you didn't come to present yourself to me. You didn't come to present yourself to the Chicago International Christian Church. But you've come because God wants you to be here and to present yourselves to God. So he goes on, verse 2, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says.'" And we're going to read what he says in just a minute. But you know, Joshua's making it clear. You're here to present yourself to God. And the words I'm about to give you are God's words, not mine. You know, I'm going to preach a sermon to you today. My goal is to inspire you in your faith, to call you to God. If what I'm saying is just my opinion, toss it out. But if I'm showing you the Word of God, then you can't take it as that preacher's words. But you've got to listen to it as it's intended, the very words of God. Here's what God wanted the Israelites to hear. "Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river, and I led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued you with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. And one of my favorite lines, then you lived in the desert for a long time. You know, people that say the Bible's boring, they don't know the Bible. God has a great sense of humor, and yet sometimes a sense of humor can also be very cutting. It's good when there's a little sugar to help the medicine go down. What am I talking about? Listen, what was the message that God, through Joshua, was giving to the Israelites? He's reminding them where they were without Him. And then He's reminding them all that He had done to bring them to where they were now. That's a great message for all of us. That's a great message for all of you who are Christians. To remember who we would be without God when we worship other gods beyond the river. You know what I'm talking about, remember? This message is a powerful message. You know, I grew up in East Texas, in the Bible Belt. I grew up going to church. Of course, everybody's dog's cousin's kid went to church. That's just the way it was. My mother was Catholic. My father was Baptist. They never went to church, but they made me go. You hear what I'm saying? The tradition of going to church was very thick. And I guess for a few years I wasn't quite sure what I was. Was I Baptist? Was I Catholic? I was just a Babylon, I suppose, for a while. And then I remember junior high. All my buddies went to the Baptist church. But I was going to Catholic church, and again, my mom was Catholic. And we had a big fight, and that's the only way to say it. Because I wanted to go visit with my friends who were my age over at the Baptist church. Well, finally, at the end of this fight, we made a deal. Mom said, you can go to the Baptist church on Sunday night, as long as you agree to go to Catholic church on Sunday morning. And then when you're old enough, you can make your own decision. And that's exactly what happened for a few years. Of course, when I didn't skip out on church. But anyway, the religiosity, guys, is what I'm trying to communicate to you. It was so thick. But as Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. So many people go to church today just because they're supposed to go. And their hearts are far from God. Here, Joshua wanted to make sure that's not what they were going to get into. Tradition. He wanted to remind you, remember who you were? Well, I remember who I was. I was 23 years old, and I was riding a subway train in New York City. I was sitting there, and my voice was pretty tired, worn out, kind of like it is now. We've been doing a lot of preaching the last week or so. And I was sitting there on the train, and two guys walked in the train. And I was heading out to Long Island to do a performance for children on Long Island. My background was in theater. And my voice was hurting, so I actually prayed a prayer. Lord, please don't let these two guys talk to me. Because I need to save my voice. Well, they were riding the train for no other reason but to share their faith with people. Like some of you have been doing this week. That's why some of you are here today. And they sat down right across from me and said, hey, how you doing? So I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer according to my desire, but according to my need. Amen? And these guys reached out to me, and they invited me to church, and I wanted to go. But then that Sunday morning, like I'm sure many did this morning, when it came time to go, I didn't go. And I made up an excuse. You know when the phone rings? Hello? Yeah, hey, you still want me to pick you up and go to church? Oh, man. I'm not feeling very good. You know what I'm talking about? No, you've never done that. No. No, never made an excuse or anything. Well, here's how God works. That Wednesday night, I did go to an informal Bible discussion. It was a group of people in a home near where I live, and I went there to study the Bible. And the first question was, let's go around and say your name and say something you're not too proud of. Do you see where I'm going with this? So it got around to me, and I actually shared, you know what? I'm not too proud because on Sunday I made an excuse and I lied, and that's why I didn't go to church. God was convicting me. And then they said, well, hey, why don't we sit down and do some Bible studies? And if you're our guest today, that's something that we're very serious about in this church, studying the Bible. Again, I don't want you to just listen to what I'm saying up here. I want you to get into the Bible and read it for yourself. So many people don't read the Bible. Even people that have been raised in church. They did a survey in the Wall Street Journal years ago about people who claimed the Bible was everything to them. The Bible was the way they wanted to live their life. And they polled people. Out of 30 people who claimed the Bible, that's God's Word, that's what I'm all about, only 1 out of 30 read it with any regularity. And these are people that claim this is the Word of God. Maybe I could ask you, how are you doing reading your Bible? Are you taking the time to seek out God according to His Word and according to His Scriptures? We're very serious about that. You know, you can go visit many churches, and I always give this challenge. Go into the church, ask 10 different people, what is this church all about? Guess what you're going to get? About 10 different answers. Because so many people don't have the same convictions. They're not unified about what the Bible says about how we need to live our lives, or simply about what we need to teach that's accurate scripturally. Timothy says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. If you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's why we've come to Chicago. We want to make it all the way to heaven. And we want to help other people along the way. But you don't get to heaven just by going to church sometimes. Or by going to church all the time with your body, but your heart somewhere else. This is a great covenant God has given us. A great love God has given us. And He expects a great commitment in return. You know, I sat down and I decided to study the Bible. And I hope some of you will make that decision today. And although I'd gone to church my whole life, it was the first time I ever really sat down with other guys, opening the Bible, really focused on me and my life. That's what the Bible's for. You know, Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the Word of God is living and active. You know, people say, oh, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. That's out of date. They haven't read the Bible. If they would read it, they'd realize, oh, no. This is right in time. See, because it goes on to say, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. And it divides and it cuts and it penetrates the heart. And the reason the Bible isn't outdated is because though we may dress differently than they did 2,000 years ago, though we may have different homes, different ways of transportation, what's basically the same is our hearts. And the Bible doesn't play around with the exterior. The Bible cuts right to the heart. It gets in there. And it shows us how God wants us to live. And so, I hope you'll decide to study the Bible. I did, and I learned about the Bible itself. I learned about one study that changed my whole life. We call it discipleship. It's a study about what it really means to be a Christian. What it really means to follow Christ the way He calls us to. And I was very convicted. I realized, man, here I am going to church every Sunday, But what I did Sunday afternoon to Saturday night, you guys with me? It's a little quiet in here. You know? Maybe there's some people convicted. It didn't match up to how I acted on Sunday morning. You know, one of the prayers we prayed before moving here in Exodus, Moses is talking to God and he says, God, if your presence will not go up with us from this place, do not take us. And we pray, God, if you're not going to go with us to Chicago, if you don't want us in Chicago, don't move us up from where we are. God's presence is a powerful thing. And Patrick was sharing a story with me this morning that he read this morning in his quiet time. You know when you act one way, but then when someone important walks in the room, like your boss, you act differently? You know, you just get, oh, hey, how you doing, sir? Yes, okay, you know, because they control the paycheck or whatever. When is the presence of God not with us? There is always someone very, very important right next to us. And so we shouldn't act any differently on Sunday morning than we do the rest of the week. Amen? And I was so convicted. And you know what really convicted me? As these guys studied the Bible with me, and as we moved along in the studies, we studied a study called Sin and Repentance. Yeah. Maybe you're thinking, well, that doesn't sound like one I'd want to do. Let's do the one about faith and grace and old promised land. That sounds awesome. Yeah, love. Let's do that study about love. Sin and repentance. But you know, that's when it really gets real. Is that when it's about my life? And I just want to be open. I was very immoral before I became a true Christian, true disciple. I had I'd slept around a lot. I'd go to church every Sunday. You know, hey, God will forgive me. He knows I love Him. And the guys opened the Bible with me. They said, turn to Galatians chapter 5. So if you know your Bible, you know that's where it talks about the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. You with me here? And the first one is what? Sexual immorality at the top of the list. You know why? Our world is controlled by sexual immorality. Sex sells. And it's all over. In fact, you could sell anything with a pretty girl in a bikini. You know? Hey, what's that ad for? Toothbrush. Why is that girl in a bikini holding a toothbrush? Because they know what you're going to think about. And here I was. You know what the real thing was? I went to church. I loved God. But no one ever taught me what the Bible said about sin and repentance. And I'm like, come on, you know, we aren't perfect. But I went around the circle. And I said, wait a minute. You're telling me you're not going to have sex till you get married? Yeah, that's right. I made that decision. You're telling me you're not going to have sex before you get married? Yeah, that's right. That's what I've chosen. You're telling me you're not going to have sex till you get married? Yeah, that's right. That's what the Bible says. Okay, I'm not going to say so I get married. It took away my excuses. The Bible's very clear to keep the marriage bed pure. That's how God created it to be. Could you imagine if we treated one another in this world with purity and respect? If we built relationships based on friendship and spirituality and serving God? Could you imagine how different it would be? The disease that would be gone. Just gone. The children having children that would be gone. Rape would cease to exist if we just obey the Scriptures. And that's how God intended it to be. but we're controlled by it. And I remember I used to think, you grow out of it. And I was walking down the street in New York City, There's so many people, and you walk down the street, and I saw this little old man. He couldn't even move very fast. Basically, turn around to check out a young girl's butt as she walked by. I'm serious. And I went, man, you don't grow out of it. It's just as simple as that. You got to make a decision. This is wrong. I'm going to change it. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. So I'm just trying to tell you who I was and who I've been. You ever tempted to think, man, I'm so horrible I can never change? Let me read you this. Next time you feel like God can't use you or you think you got it so bad, just remember, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Sarah lived in a tent and couldn't have a baby till she was 90. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Joshua spent the first half of his life walking in the desert. Remember, they lived in the desert for a long time. Yeah, that's right. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a long-haired womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Hosea's wife cheated on him. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. Got any young men in here? Not too young to serve the Lord. Amen? David had an affair and murdered to cover it up. King David. So you can change them. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah had to preach naked. That's intense. Jonah got thrown overboard in the middle of a storm. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. And his family were killed by terrorists and natural disasters. And we think we got it bad. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter publicly denied Christ. John fell asleep when Jesus needed him. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And by the way, Lazarus was dead. So, if you think you got it too bad, or if you think you can't change, God worked powerfully in these men's lives. And that's the exact point God wanted the Israelites to remember. He said, "You saw with your own eyes what I did." And then we're back to that phrase again. And then you lived in the desert for a long time. Okay, why? Why did they live in the desert? Don't you remember? God brought them out of Egypt. And as His people came out of Egypt, they were excited to be led out of slavery, weren't they? But guess what happened? They didn't get too far out of Egypt before they started grumbling and complaining. And then, God said, send 12 spies, right, into the land. And Joshua was one of them. They all went in the land to spy out the land God had already said, this is the land I'm going to give you. No, this land I'm giving you. Go explore the land. And they came back. And what happened? 10 of these men, leaders of the tribes of Israel, came back and they said, no, we can't do it. People are too big. They're too strong. We cannot overcome. We can't conquer this land. And Joshua and his buddy Caleb, they're like, what? What are you talking about? God said to do it. If God's presence is with us, we can certainly do it. We ought to go in there. Because these other leaders spread this faithless report, all the people listened to them, became faithless, and they grumbled against the Lord. Well, those 10 guys died of a plague, and only Joshua and Caleb were told they were going to go into the promised land. But they didn't get to go next week. God punished them. He said, you're going to wander around the desert 40 years. 1 year for every faithless day you spent exploring that land I gave you. 40 days, faithlessness, 40 years in the desert. That's what they've been through. And then you lived in the desert for a long time. What's amazing to me is after you've seen God work powerfully in your own life, isn't it humbling how faithless we can still be? God works so powerfully, and yet we grumble, we complain, we doubt. I know the mission team has been convicted of this point over and over in the move to Chicago. Can I get real with y'all for a minute? See, God called us here. And God called us to a mission. And I appreciate the faith of every single one that has said, I'm coming. And you've left so much to come here. And yet, we've grumbled a whole lot in the process. And we've complained a whole lot in the process. Man, is this going to work out? I mean, I don't know. And you mean, well, these are serious things. People have gotten jobs and then lost them. God will give another job. People have gotten homes, lost them, only to have God give another home. You guys with me here? People have said, hey, I'm going to open up my home and let everybody stay with me. And boy, that can be challenging after a few days. I think we need to be very convicted. God led us out of wherever we came from. God's presence is with us. He's led us here. And when we decide we're going to stop doubting Him. We're going to stop squirming at the first sign of discomfort. They got out in the desert. Hey, God led us out. This is awesome. Hey, where's the food, Moses? What's going on here? What's happening? This is flakes we're supposed to eat. What's up with that? I don't know if we're going to have enough, so I'm going to collect more for tomorrow, even though they said only take enough for today, and God will provide tomorrow. Then they lived in the desert for a long time. I'm so proud of the team, but you got to understand, God is refining us, and God is calling us to greater faith. You know, I sat down with the Bouillets back in Syracuse and I said, hey, I want to invite your son to come on the mission team. And Pam said, well, I've always wanted to go on a mission team. I've always wanted to take the one suitcase challenge. Well, I think you brought more than one suitcase, Pam. I saw that moving truck you brought. See, back in the day when they sent some of the teams overseas, like to India, they gave the one bag challenge. And I never forget hearing about that brother that took one bag, his golf bag. It was awesome. You know, as we're unloading trucks, you get to know a lot about people. Sometimes it's fun to serve, as Joe would say, one, two, amen? Watch your brother's feet. That's right. You know, we're unloading the farmer's truck. And Joel is there with us unloading. And all of a sudden I see a box. I'm unloading Joel's Tonka truck. Joel. What are you, 6'3"? What's up with that, man? Brian Scudamore, the founder and CEO of Got Junk, had this to say. It's difficult for people to get rid of junk. They get attached to things and let them define who they are. If there's one thing I've learned in the business, it's that you are what you can't let go of. And then they lived in the desert a long time. Let's read on, amen. Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read on in verse 14. After God had reminded them who they were, reminded them of how He'd worked, now in verse 14 Joshua says, "Now, fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." This was Joshua's command to the people. This is the covenant we are making today with the Chicago International Christian Church. We will serve the Lord. We're not here for ourselves, but we're here to serve God. And I know God wants to say to every man and woman here, this is a choice that every man and every woman here needs to make. Doesn't matter what anyone else does. I am going to serve God. You may think you came here with your friend who really needs God. God wants you here too. Never got out in New York City. I was taking a cab. You know, you do that in New York City. And I ended up in a cab and I'd just come from an appointment with a man who had really lost everything. And really, he hadn't been a very spiritual man. His wife was really spiritual. It's a shame when that happens. When the woman is really spiritual and the man isn't. But you can change, amen? But because this man didn't, and he always put work before God and before his family, it wore his wife out. And she lost her faith. She took the kids and left the state and moved away from him. And he was broken. And then he wanted to come and get help. You know, it's so sad sometimes when you look at our world. And you see how we have to get so humbled before we'll come to God and ask for help. And I was trying, doing everything I could to help him. And I went out and I got in the cab and I said, "Let me reach out to this gentleman." And I reached out and I told him my name and I invited him to come to church. And he said, "Well, you know, I don't really want to do this. But why don't you call my wife? She'd love it." As we got deeper, turns out he was cheating on his wife. And he just wanted me to call her so she'd have something else to do. That's the world we live in. Good news is, his wife came to church. Study the Bible. Now, when I called her the first time, she said, "You know what she said? Oh, I don't need this. I'm good. My husband needs this." You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I see some people covering their heads. Maybe that's been a message. Okay, anyway. "Yeah, my husband needs this." But you know what? She came out and found out she needed it too. And again, I believe every single man and woman on the earth needs to make this decision Joshua made. We will serve the Lord. Well, she became a Christian, faithful to this day. And 3 years later, her husband finally turned himself in, changed his life, repented, and man, now she just goes all the time. Her husband is faithful to God, faithful to her. They get up every morning and they read together and they pray together and they're raising their family to serve the Lord. Amen. But again, that's why we moved to Chicago. We moved here to make a difference. I believe there's so many people who are hurting out in this city. Maybe you come and you say, you know, I want to change the city. You know what God has to say back? Well, see that person right next to you? They need a ride home. Whoa. No, I came to change the whole Midwest. That's awesome. See that guy sitting in the row behind you? He's completely worried how he's going to fix his roof, the leak he's got. See, we're not going to change the city until we change ourselves and start caring more about other people and their needs. Take a look in John chapter 7. Just in case you're still not convinced, I've got a challenge for you. John chapter 7. You know, Hebrews says that everyone who comes to the Lord must believe He exists and rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So do you believe this morning? Do you believe your God exists? And that if you earnestly seek Him, He will reward you. You know, I heard a story about a barber. A guy came in to see him. Get his haircut. And as they were talking, you know, the conversation was covering many things, and pretty soon it got around to God. And the barber said emphatically, God doesn't exist. I know it. If God existed, there would not be so many hurting people out in the world. And the Christian sat there in the chair, wasn't quite sure what to say. You ever in that situation? You want to help someone, but you're not quite sure what to say to them. And they were emphatic, and the Christian didn't want to start an argument. So he finished the haircut and was cordial and left the barbershop. Right outside the barbershop, the Christian saw a man walk by with really long, dirty hair and an unkempt beard. And the light went off. He went right back in the barbershop. And he said, hey, barber, barbers don't exist. I said, what are you talking about? I'm a barber. And I just worked on you. I cut your hair and I shaved your beard. He said, yeah, look at that guy out there. If barbers existed, there'd be nobody with long, unkempt hair and shaggy beards. Barber said, wait a minute. I exist. Problem is, people won't come to me and let me help them. Christian said, that's exactly the point. God does exist. The reason there's so much hurt in the world is people won't come and let God help them. In John chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus had preached at the feast, and the Jews were amazed and said, how does this man have such great learning if he's never studied? In verse 16, Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. If anyone, and I'm talking anyone, chooses to do God's will, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So here's the challenge I have for you. If you've come today and you're just not so sure God exists, you're not so sure God can work in your life, I want you to give Him a little test here. You know, you buy a car, you take a little test spin. How about the taste of Chicago? It's going on right now. All the restaurants are out there with their food, and they want you to come and just have a little taste. That's so good. And you'll know whether you like it or not. Here, the Bible says, if you're not sure, it's very simple. If you will choose to do God's will, you will know. The proof is in the pudding. The Bible is such an amazing book. God's Word, it's unlike any book there is. If we'll read it, and we won't just have head knowledge, but we'll apply it to our lives, it will change us. So many of the problems in our world would disappear if people would just choose to stop serving other gods and to serve the God of the Bible. You know, the other night, after the campus teen devotional, Andrew, Patrick, and I got to take a little walk down in Grant Park. And it is a beautiful, beautiful spot. Patrick was in awe of the city. We were looking at Michigan Avenue, and you know, you got the Sears Tower right there. And that's pretty awesome just to look at. And then you go down the skyline, down Michigan, and you see the Aon Center. And you go, hey, that's where Joe Chicretta works. Right up there. And then beyond it, you can see the Hancock. And then there's Lake Michigan. It is inspiring. So, I took him over to a little monument right there in the park. It's a monument to Aaron Montgomery Ward. Let me read to you what it says. Aaron Montgomery Ward had a vision for Chicago's lakefront that set him apart from most of his contemporaries. For two decades, 1890 to 1910, he fought tirelessly to preserve Chicago's lakeshore as an open space and assure that the city's front yard would remain free and clear, providing magnificent views and incredible recreational opportunities to all its citizens. Grant Park is his legacy to the city he loved and his gift to the future. And if you haven't been down there, it is spectacular. Amen. But you know what? It's nothing compared to the view we're going to see when we approach that holy city. When our time comes, when as we sang earlier, the trump sounds, and it's that last day, and really, I saw a long time ago, everything on earth is STBA, scheduled to burn anyway. So don't get me wrong, I love that view. I'm very inspired to go there. But it's going to burn one day. And when we get to heaven, and the people that we poured our lives out to help get to heaven are there with us, the view of Chicago skyline is going to be nothing compared to the view of that holy city. Today, as we celebrate the inaugural service of the Chicago International Christian Church, we renew our covenant with God, and we vow to serve Him with all faithfulness. We acknowledge that we are nothing, but God is everything, John 15:5. We know where we've come from, and that God alone has pulled us out of the world and into His kingdom, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. He has given us a family, and He'll protect us in this life and the life to come. We confess our sins and our weaknesses, and we want to proclaim God's power to change lives by boldly sharing how He's changed ours. We know we must watch our life and doctrine closely and persevere in them if we're going to save ourselves and our hearers. 1 Timothy 4. That is our mission. We desire to know God and to make God known here in Chicago. And to Him be all the glory. Amen. Amen.